Welcome to the Folktale Project. This is Dan Scholes. Today we have our final story from Japan. And as I said, this one features a hero. A hero that we've met before, in fact, almost exactly a year ago. We read a story of Watanabe. This is Watanabe Cuts Off the Oni's Arm. When the capital of Japan was the city of Kyoto, and the Mikado dwelt in it with all his court, there lived a brave captain of the guard named Yoremitsu, who belonged to the famous Minamoto family. He was also called Raiko, and by this name he is best known to all the boys and girls in Great Japan. Under Captain Raiko were three brave guardsmen, one of whom was named Watanabe Tsuna. The duty of these men-at-arms was to watch at the gates leading to the palace. It had come to pass that the Blossom Capital had fallen in a dreadful condition because the guards at the other gates had been neglected. Thieves were numerous and murders were frequent, so that everyone in the city was afraid to go out into the streets at night. Worse than all else was the report that Oni, or imps, were prowling around in the dark to seize people by the hair of their head. They would drag them away to the mountains, tear the flesh off their bones, and eat them up. The worst place in the city, to which the horned imps came oftenest, was at the southwest gate, called the Rajomon. To this post of danger, Raiko sent Tsuna, the bravest of his guards. It was on a dark, rainy, and dismal night that Tsuna started, well armed, to stand sentinel at the gate. His trusty helmet was knotted over his chin, and all the pieces of his armor were well laced up. His sandals were girt tight to his feet, and in his belt thrust his trusty sword, freshly ground until its edge was like a razor's, and with it the owner could cut asunder a hair floating in the air. Arriving at the red pillar of the gate, Tsuna paced up and down the stone way with his eyes and ears wide open. The wind was blowing frightfully. The storm howled and the rain fell in such torrents that soon the cords of Tsuna's armor and his dress were soaked through. The great bronze bell of the temples on the hill boomed out the hours one after another until a single stroke told Tsuna that it was the hour of the rat, midnight. 2 hours passed and the hour of the bull sounded, 2 a.m. Tsuna was wide awake. The storm had lulled, but it was darker than ever. The hour of the tiger, 3 o'clock, rung out, and the soft mellow notes of the temple bell died away like a lullaby, wooing one to sleep, spite of will and vow. The warrior, almost without knowing it, grew sleepy and fell into a doze. He started and woke up. He shook himself, jingled his armor, pinched himself, and even pulled out his little knife of the wooden scabbard of his dirk and pricked his leg with the point of it to keep awake, but all in vain. Unconsciously overcome, he leaned against the gatepost and fell asleep. This was just what the imp wanted. All the time he had been squatting on the crosspiece at the top of the gate waiting his opportunity. He now slid down as softly as a monkey and with his iron-like claws grabbed Tsuna by the helmet and began to drag him into the air. In an instant, Tsuna was awake. Seizing the hairy wrist of the imp with his left hand and with his right he drew his sword, swept it round his head, and cut off the demon's arm. The Oni, frightened and howling with pain, leaped up the post and disappeared in the clouds. Tsuna waited with drawn sword in hand lest the Oni might come again, but in a few hours morning dawned. The sun rose on the pagodas and gardens and temples of the capital and the ninefold circle of flowery hills. Everything was beautiful and bright. Tsuna returned to report to his captain, carrying the Oni's arm in triumph. Raiko examined it and loudly praised Tsuna for his bravery and rewarded him with a silken sash. Now, it is said that if an Oni's arm be cut off, it cannot be made to unite with his body again, if kept apart for a week. So Raiko warned Tsuna to lock it up and watch it night and day lest it be stolen from him. Tsutsuno went to the stonecutters, who made idols of Buddha, mortars for pounding rice, and coffers for burying money in to be hidden away in the ground, and bought a strong box cut out of solid stone. It had a heavy lid on it, which slid in a groove and came out only by touching a secret spring. Then, setting it in his bedchamber, he guarded it day and night, keeping the gate and all his doors locked. He allowed no one who was a stranger to look at his trophy. 6 days passed, and Tsuna began to think his prize was sure, for were not all his doors tight shut? So he set the box out in the middle of the room, and twisting some rice straw fringe in token of sure victory and rejoicing, he sat down in ease before it. He took off his armor and put on his court robes. During the evening, but rather late, there was a feeble knock like that of an old woman at the gate outside. Tsuna cried out, "Who's there?" The squeaky voice of his aunt, as it seemed, who was a very old woman, replied,
"Me, I want to see my nephew, to praise him for his bravery in cutting off the Oni's arm."
So Tsuna let her in, and carefully locking the door behind her, helped the old crone into the room, where she sat down on the mats in front of the box and very close to it. Then she grew very talkative, and praised her nephew's exploit until Tsuna felt very proud. All the time the old woman's left shoulder was covered with her dress while her right hand was out. Then she begged earnestly to be allowed to see the limb. Tsuna at first politely refused, but she urged, until yielding affectionately, he slid back the stone lid just a little.
"This is my arm,"
cried the old hag, turning into an Oni and dragging out the arm. She flew up to the ceiling and was out of the smoke slide through the roof in a twinkling. Tsuna rushed out of the house to shoot her with an arrow, but he only saw a demon far off in the clouds grinning horribly. He noted carefully, however, that the direction of the imp's flight was to the northwest. A council was now held by Raiko's band, and it was decided that the lurking place of the demons must be in the mountains of Oye, in the province of Tango. It was resolved to hunt out and destroy the imps. And that is Watanabe Cuts Off the Oni's Arm. And it's a wonderful story of almost succeeding in removing the arm from the Oni. And if you'd like to see where this story goes, you can head back to our story from Friday, May 22nd, 2020, of Watanabe Kills the Great Spider, which is exactly what happens after this story, as Raiko, his men, and Watanabe head off to the northwest. This is Dan Scholes for the Folktale Project. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, anywhere you like to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Folktale Project. You can find us on Auto Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere you like to listen. And you can always head over to folktaleproject.com, where you'll find a new story waiting for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next week, we'll be back with 3 new stories. As always, thank you so much for listening.